I was tracing the jagged edge of a 19th century cornice when Liam's hand covered mine, his thumb grazing my knuckles with a familiarity that felt like a promotion I hadn't earned yet. It wasn't a grab, it wasn't a threat, it was a slow practice velvet trap. He didn't need to break my door down when he could simply convince me to leave it unlocked. Dublin rain smeared the windows of the heritage site, turning the world outside into a grey blur, but inside the drawing room, the air was thick with the scent of expensive bourbon and sawdust. I am Amara. I am 29, a daughter of Port of Spain, who moved across an ocean to restore the bones of empires, and in that moment, I believed I was the architect of my own destiny. Liam was the senior director, a man whose Irish lilt could make a budget cut sound like a bedtime story. He didn't demand my body. He seduced my ambition until I couldn't tell where my career ended and his bed began. The first time happened after a 16-hour shift. We were over budget on the restoration of a Georgian estate in Kildare. The marble was cracking and my nerves were worse. Liam didn't yell. He brought two glasses, sat on the floor with me, and talked about my vision. He told me I had a fire that the local firms couldn't handle. Then he kissed me. It felt like a reward. It felt like a thank you for my brilliance. I let it happen because for the first time in this cold, damp country, I felt seen. For 3 months, the entanglement was the fuel for our progress. We'd spend the day debating structural integrity and the night debating the depth of our connection. He made sure every major decision, every signed safety report, every redirected fund was discussed while I was wrapped in his sheets. "We're a team, Amara," he'd whisper against my neck. "Nobody understands the project like we do." I thought I was being brought into the inner circle. I thought the intimacy was a byproduct of our shared genius. I didn't realize it was the lubricant for my own professional demise. The shift was surgical. I presented the final restoration phase for the West Wing, a project I had bled for. I expected the promotion to lead architect. It was mine by right, by hours worked, and I thought, by the love of the man sitting at the head of the mahogany table. Liam didn't even look at me. He gave the lead to Sarah, a woman who hadn't stepped foot on the site in a month. When I cornered him in his office later, the warmth I had lived in for 90 days had evaporated. He didn't even stand up. He just leaned back, clicking a pen, his eyes as cold as the Irish Sea. I asked him how he could do this after everything we discussed, after the nights we spent planning the future. "Amara," he said, and the way he used my name felt like a slap. "You need to be careful. You've signed off on 3 major structural deviations in the last month. Deviations we discussed privately. If anyone looks at those reports, it looks like you are cutting corners to impress me. Or worse, that you were using our personal report to bypass the board's oversight." The room spun. The private discussions were the pillow's talks. The deviations were the ideas he'd suggested while we were tangled together. Things he'd told me were creative risks that he'd back me on. He hadn't backed me. He had paper trailed me. "I thought you loved me," I said, the words tasting like ash. "I think you're a very talented woman who got her wires crossed," he replied. "And if I were you, I'd take the junior associate position in the London office. It's a fresh start. Because if you stay here and push for that promotion, the HR investigation into your irregular reporting habits will be thorough." He had seduced the situation until I was trapped. Every kiss was a contingency plan. Every night of passion was a layer of plausible deniability for him and a noose for me. He had managed me through my own desire for connection, using my body as a bridge to his own corporate safety. I looked at him, this man I had let into my most private spaces, and realized he didn't see a woman or a lover. He saw a liability he had successfully neutralized. He punished me for wanting the dignity of the work I had actually done, using the intimacy he initiated as the weapon to keep me silent. I left his office without a word. The rain was still falling, but the blur was gone. I could see everything now. He thought he had buried me in those signed reports, but he forgot one thing about restorers. We know how to find the cracks in the foundation, and I was going to find his.